speak. Pretty fitting for our sermon tonight. Speak to me. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
It's good to see you. For those of you at home, we're glad you're joining us because we'd love to have everybody join us that can one way or another, whether physically or on the virtual campus. So we're excited that you've chosen to spend part of your evening with us. Now, it's been a crazy week, right? It's been a crazy week. Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
I mean, we had cold weather. Some cold weather. Pastor was frozen like a popsicle on Monday and Tuesday, weren't you, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
We had snow, more snow, and some more snow. Tiana was without power in Texas for over 2 days. Plus, we had to, of course, take Noah sledding this week. Holly and I did. And this kid loves sledding, especially on the Bell Tower Hill. Noah likes to live on the edge when he's on that sled. He loves to stay on that sled as long as he can, even if he's heading right for a tree. Holly and I are yelling, roll off, when he's about 10 feet from a tree. But he waits until he's about a foot or 2 feet from that tree to bail out. He's waiting. He's hoping at the last second he can turn it. You ever done that in parachute, John? He has always been this way, Noah has. At age 4, we were down in southern Illinois, some of Polly's family, and he was swimming. And he just decided he was going to jump off the diving board. Now, he didn't really have swim lessons at this point. He was using floaties in the shallow end, but he just decided he was going to do it. Neither Polly nor I are in the deep end even ready to catch him or pull him up if necessary. That doesn't stop Noah. He just runs and jumps right off the diving board. I wouldn't call him reckless, though. He knew that that tree wasn't going to kill him. And he knew that there were enough adults around that pool for that when he jumped off that diving board for the first time, there'd be someone there to save him if he knew. I would just say Noah is impetuous. He just doesn't have any real planning or forethought. He just has a go-for-it attitude. And this week, as he was sledding, Noah again and again was not going to play it safe. It wasn't in his vocabulary, and it's just not in Noah's DNA. Now, brothers and sisters, we're currently in the middle of a series called Dangerous Prayers. And these prayers are not going to cause you direct harm, but they will change your life. They will force you to stop playing it safe in your prayer life and with your faith. John Ortberg, in his article, Taking Care of Busyness, says, for most of us, the great danger, it's not that we'll renounce our faith. It is that we will become so distracted and rushed and preoccupied that we settle for a mediocre version of it. We will just skim our lives instead of actually living them. It's just easier for us to live comfortable lives, not to rock the boat, to jump off the sled 10 feet from the tree, to not live a life on the edge, to not ask God to take us far from our comfort zones. Now, for those of you who love Friends, in season two, episode 15, Joey buys two leather recliners and a big TV for the apartment after his contract for Days of Our Lives gets picked up. And Joey surprises Chandler with the chairs. From here, the roommates spend hour after hour in those cozy chairs watching the new big TV. They order food, they call up and order food in just to have it delivered to Monica and Rachel's apartment across the hall, just so they don't have to get out of the chairs to answer the door. They get very comfortable in this new environment that has been created by these new recliners and this new TV. Well, this is how many of us can get with our prayer lives and our faith as well. We get used to saying the safe prayers, asking God to bless us, our families, our church. We pray for healing of the sick, feeding of the hungry, the comfort of the hurting, and hope for the lost. We end our prayers there. We get up and continue our lives. We walk away from our time with God, incomplete and unfinished. We leave him watching us walk away from above. And as we walk away, he's there saying, I had so much more I wanted to talk about. We like the safe prayers. Prayers like, rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Or, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. Or, thank you, God, for the world so sweet. Thank you, God, for the food we eat. Thank you, God, for the birds that sing. Thank you, God, for everything. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with these simple prayers or praying for others. It's just that God wants so, so much more from our prayer lives. He wants a relationship. He wants us to let him in. He wants to search us, to help us let go of the things that hold us back from serving him unconditionally and unobstructed. He wants us to ask him to break our hearts, to open ourselves up to see the world the way he does, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. He wants to speak to us. You heard me right. He wants to speak to you. He has a message for you, for me, for everyone. The question is, are you ready to receive it? Are you ready to say this prayer we're talking about? This simple, powerful, and dangerous prayer. Are you ready to rock the boat and pray it with your whole heart? Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. This simple verse, or simple prayer rather, comes from a verse in the middle of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. And you can find it in verse 10. But in 1 Samuel chapter 3, Samuel, who is at this point as a young boy, somewhere around the age of 12, maybe 10, 11, 12, somewhere in that age, and he is assisting and learning and being raised by the priest Eli. And he is sleeping one night. And he hears a voice call out and say, Samuel. Samuel just assumed it was Eli, because we have to understand at this point, Eli's old, does not see very well, might even be completely blind at this point. So Samuel replies back, yes, I'm here. And he went to see what Eli needed. Eli tells him, I didn't call for you. Just go back to sleep. So Samuel does as he's told, and the Lord calls out a second time. Samuel. So he gets up, goes to Eli. I'm here, Eli. Did you call me? And Eli again tells him, I didn't call you. Just go back to bed. Well, Samuel goes to bed again, and the Lord calls him a third time. Samuel, get up. Samuel. So he gets up, but he goes to Eli and says, here I am. Did you call me? This is when Eli, who hadn't heard the voice at all, realizes it's probably the Lord calling to him. So he instructs Samuel to go back and lie down. If someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel goes back to bed for this third time. And as he lays in bed, the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Now, I can see some of you thinking, well, that's not surprising. If you go through the Bible, God spoke to people at various times. Adam and Eve, Noah, Moses, Jonah, David, just to name a few. But does he speak to people today? My quick answer is yes. But I want to take a look, just real quick, at some ways God does speak today, speaks to people specifically today. Number one, through his voice. Now, I've never heard an audible voice of God talk to me. But I am not about to say God can't still talk to someone in an audible voice. And I'm not about to say someone today has not heard his audible voice. But God, who can do anything, can most definitely still speak out to any of us in an audible voice. He also speaks to us through his word. Joyce just talked about how as she was reading the account in the garden, she saw something new. That was God speaking to Joyce. How many of you have ever read the Bible and God points something out you've never noticed before, or a particular word you didn't see before? It happens. That's how God speaks to you. He speaks through his word. Through his creation. This one's one of my favorites. It was about 3 or 4 years into being youth minister here, and we were doing a high school retreat, a combined retreat, with Grace and what other church was it? Grace. There's three churches, three youth groups, high school youth groups. And I just got done speaking, and I was sending the kids out to either say prayer, spend some time in prayer at the lodge, or walk around the grounds. And it was late fall. It was kind of cool out. And I got done, and I put my coat on, and I told the other youth men, I said, I'm going to go out and walk around. And as I'm walking, I'm just like, God, I haven't felt you today. I just told the kids that your presence is here and you're in here, but I really don't feel you today. I felt kind of like a hypocrite to what I said to them. And I said, God, I need to hear you. I need to see you or hear from you. I need to know you're here. I want to feel your presence. And I'm not kidding. It wasn't, but from me to the end of the stage, and a deer just walks right across my path. He just stands there and looks at me like, he's here. And every time since then, when I am out walking, including in my own neighborhood, I'm like, God, I need to see you. I am just one house away from my house, so I'm surrounded by houses, and a deer walks right through my neighbor's yard right in front of me. Out there in the middle of the kids playing, and just walks right through. So God can speak to you through his creation. Maybe it's a beautiful sunset. Maybe it's the mountains. Maybe it's a tree. I mean, there's all kinds of ways, but God speaks through his creation. He speaks through music. And I can go on countless times where God, music, and it's hit me, and he spoke to me. God does speak through music. I honestly believe that the writers of many songs have felt God as they were writing, and the words came from God. And there have been times where songs have come on the radio just random, or even YouTube, I let play in my office when I'm building, and a song I've never heard before comes on, and it hits me with some kind of message I need to hear right then. I believe God speaks through music. God speaks through others. It may be a pastor giving a sermon. It may be a Sunday school teacher. It may be a small group leader. It may be your best friend. It could be your enemy. It could be someone you don't necessarily care for. God also speaks through his Spirit. He speaks through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit's our guide. It's a friend. Remember, he told the disciples it was going to be a good thing he was going to heaven, because there would be something even more incredible here to be with us. The Spirit was going to be in us, around us, with us, guiding us. And the Spirit talks to us. God speaks through his Spirit. And then, of course, through prayer. Through prayer. And I know some of you in this room could go up here and tell testimonies about how prayer and how God spoke to you through prayer. Some of you have been to the prayer journeys we have done, and God speaks through that incredibly. The testimonies that come out of that is just incredible. So God speaks to us through prayer. And there are many numerous other ways, but those are the big ways God still speaks today. But here in God's Word, we see him come to Samuel. He comes to Samuel and stands there and speaks to him. Now, maybe some of you here, or even at home right now, are thinking, that would be so cool. That would be so amazing to hear from God. And even better, to hear from God right from his mouth, to hear his audible voice, to maybe even see him standing there in his presence. How cool would that be? And it would be cool. I'm not denying that. But before we go any further, I want to ask you a question. How many times in his Word, when God talked to someone and gave them something to do, gave them homework, so to speak, for you students, he gave them something to do, how many times when God did that, was it going to make their people's lives easier? How many times did he go in and say, hey there, how are things going? I just want to let you know, we got a little task for you, but don't worry, it's going to be easy, your life will be easier after it's done. The answer is none. Then none. Go through this and go see. Look at when God spoke directly to someone. You can count on it taking them out of their comfort zone. You can count on it challenging them. They will no longer be able to play it safe. Think about it. Moses. Burning bush. By the way, this is how I know. If God can use a burning bush or a donkey to talk to someone, then he can use your enemy or someone you don't expect. But in this case, he uses a burning bush. And he says, you got to go. I want you to go back to where you're wanted for killing, for murder. And free my people. Let's go. Moses tried to get out of it. You guys all know that. He tried multiple times saying he wasn't the guy to do it. But it was going to challenge him, take him out of his comfort zone. Moses did not want to do it. Abraham, take your son to Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice for me. That's scary to think about. That's definitely not playing it safe. Noah, go and build this big boat and gather every type of animal in pairs. How many of you struggle just keeping your cat and dogs contained in your homes? But Noah, go get every pair of animals you can. Then I'm going to flood the world, everyone else will die, and your family will repopulate the earth. Not a lighthearted conversation from God. Mary, he used an angel, of course. He said, girl, you're going to get pregnant. I know you're virgin. I know you're not married, but you're going to get pregnant through the Spirit. You will have a son. He will be great. He'll be the Son of God. Taking Mary probably out of her comfort zone. You see, you get into the Word this week and look at the different conversations God had with people, where he gave them something to do, where he gave them an assignment. And their lives were better because they followed God, but they were not easier. They were not safe. In today's scripture, God calls out Samuel. And I'm not going to paraphrase it this time. I want to read directly from it because, God's word is so good and there's just no reason to do it. I'd rather let his word speak to us. Verse 11 of that same chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11. Samuel has just said, speak, or Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. So then the Lord said to Samuel, I'm about to do a shocking thing in Israel. I'm going to carry out all of my threats against Eli and his family from beginning to end. I have warned him that judgment is coming upon his family forever because his sons are blaspheming God, and he has not disciplined them. So I have vowed that the sins of Eli and his sons will never be forgiven by sacrifices or offerings. Wow. Samuel's a little boy. I mean, we're talking about fourth, fifth, or sixth grade, somewhere in that range. And he's got to go to the priest, the man who's been raising him, the man who's been teaching him about God, the man who's been mentoring him, the man he's been helping. And he has to give him this news about him and his sons and his family. Samuel's life didn't get easier. And it didn't get easier because he said five incredibly dangerous and powerful words. Samuel didn't play it safe when he prayed, speak, your servant is listening. Samuel prayed it, God responded. And understand that it's not just Samuel did not just mouth these words. He didn't just say it like a mantra, speak, your servant is listening. It wasn't like that. Samuel meant it. He was ready to listen to whatever God said. His simple but all-powerful prayer gives us insight into what our prayers should look like. Praying is the way we communicate with God. It's our communication tool with God. It's how we have a conversation with our Heavenly Father. It's the key, let me say this. The key to truly having great communication is, of course, you have to say what's on your mind, say what you're feeling, say what you're going through. But the most important thing to this effective communication tool, to having an effective prayer life, is listening. Is listening. Speak. Your servant is listening. And I truly mean listening, not just hearing. A man was having some difficulty communicating with his wife, and he concluded that she had become hard of hearing. So he decided to conduct a test with her. And he was going to do it without her knowing about it. One evening, David sat in a chair on the far side of the room. Barbie's back was to him, and she could not see him. Very quietly, David whispered, "Can you hear me?" There was no response. Moving a little closer, he asked again, "Barbie, can you hear me now?" Still no reply. Quietly, he edged closer and whispered the same words to her, but there was still no answer. So finally, he moved right behind her and said, "Can you hear me now?" To his surprise and chagrin, she responded with irritation in her voice, "For the fourth time, yes!" Now, I wasn't really dating Barbie, but since he likes to use me in his illustrations all the time. But the husband, he seeing what he wanted, he was here, but he wasn't listening. He was not listening to her voice. He wasn't listening for what she was saying. He was expecting no response. He was assuming no response. You see, hearing and listening are two different things. Hearing is accidental, an automatic brain response to sound that requires absolutely no effort. And we learn to filter out sounds that mean little to us, just as we choose to hear maybe our ringing cell phones and other sounds that are important to us. Listening is purposeful and focused. It's not accidental. It is active, focused, concentrated attention for the purpose of understanding the meanings expressed by the speaker, by whoever's speaking to you. I'm going to pick on myself here for a second. My wife will tell you I am a great hearer of things, but not always a great listener. But not with her. She loves to talk about, multiple times this has happened, by the way, but like a few Christmases ago in particular, my sister, I love her, I do, I promise. But my sister was talking about going on about some things she was getting ready to do and a new job and all this other stuff. She's just going on and on about it. I heard her talking. But when we got home, Paulie goes, "Did you hear what, Dennis, or what Emily said about her new job?" And I said, "Emily got a new job." I was sitting right at the table with him. I had learned to tune my sister out. That's all I did. I heard her, but I didn't listen. She wasn't a priority sitting at that table. We have to be listeners for God, not just hearers of God's voice. Some of you still may be saying, "Well, God just doesn't speak to me, Pastor." And I would argue, are you listening to God's voice? Or are you just wanting to hear Him speak and say what you want Him to say? Do you want to hear His voice just as a comfort so that you can say, "God speaks to me"? Or do you truly, actively listen for His voice, for what He says? You know, there's a benefit of being a listener instead of a hearer. And this is what makes Samuel's prayer so dangerous. The benefit is you become more like Jesus. God's plan, God's direction, God's words become more important than anything else, any other distraction in your life. God is the priority, and everything else is second. The great thing about Samuel's prayer is it gives us insight on what we must do to have God speak to us. Are you ready? Okay, here it is. It's one word. Hush. Hush. Speak. Your servant is listening. Now, the funny thing is about this word, God put this word on my heart early fall of last year, 2020. In fact, He impressed it on my heart so much that I've adopted it as my word for 2021. God spoke this word to me through Tiana's pastor, John Durham, at Highland Baptist Church in Waco. Another example of God using other people to speak to you. And you'll find it in my journal. You'll find it in my Bible at home, written everywhere, pieces of paper, just hush, hush, hush. I didn't know why He impressed it on me. It really had nothing to do with John's sermon that day. And then this year began, and we started planning our sermons, Pastor and I, and I'm looking at the prayer journey, and hush, it's just blinking like a neon light in the light of Vegas. Big light, hush. Hush means silence. Still, calm, quiet. God has been telling me since last fall to stop focusing on all the junk going on in 2020. The stuff that's still going on today. Stop going on and on about the things wrong with the culture we live in, the world around us. He's telling me to stop trying. I need to stop trying to tell him how I think he should intervene. He just wants me to come to him, be still, silent, and listen. And as I begin preparing this message today, that moment when I first heard that word, hush, has been pulling at my mind and my heart. Then on a piece of paper, I just wrote hush in big letters and realized that each letter represents something we must do to be in a place, in a position, or in a proper frame of mind to listen to God speaking to us. Quickly follow along with me. H, hunger. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, search the Lord and for his strength continually seek him. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We have to crave God's voice, have an urgent need to have him speak to us. We should seek out his voice. We need to want to get a word from God. We need to want God and to have him speak to us more than any other desire or need we may have. We must seek his presence. We must make time to get into his presence. If you hunger God, crave time with God, you'll make it a regular habit. You'll make it part of your regular schedule. To make this communication with God a habit, to make prayer a habit, you do have to be purposeful. You've got to set aside time in your schedules. It can't be a second thought or, you know, I have some extra time today, God, I'll slide you in for a little prayer time. We are in God's thoughts continually. God loved us so much, he sent his only son to die for every one of us. Does that sound like a God who will slide us into his schedule when he has a few extra moments? God should receive all of our first fruits, which includes our time. Look again at that very first word of Samuel's prayer, speak. Samuel responds to God calling his name by telling God he wanted him to speak. I need to hear your voice, God. I'm craving, I'm hungry for it, give it to me. There's no need to schedule, there's no need to plan out, Lord. I'm ready now. I want to talk to you, so please speak. That's hunger. That's hunger for God. We've got to unplug or unwind. Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. Be still and know. We've got to turn off our phones, turn off our computers, find a place that's distraction-free, a place of peace, a place where we can be calm. We've got to get into his word. We got to get into it, and then, with no distractions, wait for him to speak to us. And this is the hardest part for so many people. They want God to speak into their lives. They genuinely do. And they'll sit down in a quiet place, but they'll probably take the phone out, maybe leave it sitting upright right there on the table right by them. And it still vibrates, or they can see the notifications because it's on the table. And that's not how it should go. We've got to turn our phones to silent, not just vibrate, but silent. Flip it over so you can't see it or leave it in the other room. And for many of us, it also means taking off your smartwatch because you can still get text that way or get notifications that way. We've got to find a way to unplug. Please listen to what I'm going to say now. And if you take nothing else from this little message tonight, please, I'm begging you, not only hear what I'm saying, but listen to the statement. Hush, get rid of all distractions, because there is nothing coming across that phone, your watch, your emails, social media, or the television that is as important or more important or as life-changing as what God wants to tell you. That phone can't feed you. That watch can't feed you. But God can. Be still and know. James Hamilton writes, "Before refrigerators, people used ice houses to preserve food. They had thick walls, no windows, and tightly fitted door. In the winter, when streams and lakes were frozen, large blocks of ice would be cut out, hauled to the ice houses, and covered with sawdust. And often the ice would last even into the summer. One man lost a valuable watch while working in the ice house, and he searched diligently for it, looked through all the sawdust, but didn't find it. His fellow workers also looked, but their efforts, too, proved futile. Then a small boy who had overheard about the fruitless search slipped into the ice house during the noon hour and suddenly emerged with the watch. Amazed, the men asked him how he found it. He said, 'I closed the door. I laid down in the sawdust and kept very still. Soon, I heard the watch ticking.'" Often the question is not whether God is speaking, but whether we're being still enough, distraction-free, quiet enough to listen. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a message for you. He wants a relationship with you. He will speak to you. We have to make the effort. We have to unplug, unwind, and focus on Him. S, surrender. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Many of you have read this multiple times. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it." I like the way the message says this. Jesus went to work on his disciples. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how." Self-help? That's no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way, my way, to finding yourself, your true self. And Jesus gives us the ultimate example to surrender to God. Joyce just talked about it in the garden in Mark chapter 14, verses 35 and 36. He went on a little farther, fell to the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." In the Incredible Power Kingdom Authority, there is an account of a conversation between Adrian Rogers and Reverend Joseph Tsong. And he is a Romanian pastor, author, and president of the Romanian Missionary Society. Rogers asked Dr. Tsong for his perception of American Christianity. Joseph said the key word in American Christianity is commitment. Well, this is not good, honestly, folks. Because Joseph goes on to say, "As a matter of fact, the word commitment did not come into great usage in the English language until about the 1960s. In Romania, we do not even have a word to translate the English word commitment. If you were to use commitment in your message tonight, I would not have a proper word to translate it," Joseph said. "When a new word comes into usage, it generally pushes an old word out." Adrian went and looked and tried to figure out what word that got pushed out here. And the old word that commitment replaced was the word surrender. And what is the difference between commitment and surrender? Well, when you make a commitment, you're still in control. No matter how noble the thing you commit to, you can commit to pray, to study the Bible, to give money. You can commit to automobile payments or to lose weight. Whatever you choose to do, you can commit to. But surrender, that's different. If someone holds a gun and asks you to lift your hands in the air as a token of surrender, you don't tell that person what you are committed to. You just simply surrender and do as you're told. Well, we Americans love commitment because we get to stay in control. We need to surrender. We need to be slaves to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm going to ask you a question. Are you a committed or a surrendered Christ? Christ follower. God expects us to surrender, to give up control, say goodbye to our pride. In other words, we have to let go and let who? God. We got to let go, let God. The final H, he. We've got to play, when I talk about he, we have to play close attention to God. In other words, listen to him. Pay attention to the words he's telling you or what he's putting on your heart. Not just hear his voice. John 8:47 says, anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you don't listen because you don't belong to God. If we want God to speak to us, we have to give him all of our attention and listen for his voice. There are many voices that shout out for our attention every day. They seek to dictate our purpose. They may not say it in words, but they are clear. Live for yourself in America. Grab all the gusto you can. Earn enough money to retire in comfort. Look out for number one. Eat, drink, and be merry. Fight for what you want, what you think you deserve. A young woman concerned about this very issue went to her pastor and asked help resolving the question. And she was more specific that when it seemed that her desire seemed to contradict what she thought God wanted for her, what the will of God was. So the pastor took out a slip of paper, wrote on it, and folded it in half. He handed it to her and asked her to go to the sanctuary, read the paper, ponder the words for at least 10 minutes, then cross out one of the two words and bring the paper back. When she opened the paper after sitting in the sanctuary, she saw the words which were there. No and Lord. No and Lord. Which one are you crossing out? Which one will you cross out? Will you listen for the Lord and follow him? Or the world? The takeaway for today is if you want God to speak to you, then just hush. If you want God to speak to you, just hush. Be hungry for him. Unplug, unwind. Be ready. Surrender. Give it in. Let him take the lead. And heed. Pay attention to what he is saying. Go out and do it. Are you ready to pray this prayer that a young boy had the courage to utter? Speak. Your servant is listening. Are you ready to hush? Or are you ready to, are you ready to spend whatever time it takes for God to speak to you? I've got a quick video. It's a song. And if you're ready to say the prayer, then say it. But please, don't say this dangerous prayer until you can say what you mean and mean what you say. Speak. Your servant is listening. Watch and listen to this song. I won't move until you speak.
I'm here again in the place we met, where hopelessness meets grace. Quiet old noise, every whispered lie put to rest by perfect peace. Even in my doubt, I will not forget. Faithful still to me, I won't take a single step till I hear your voice. I surrender. Thank you.
song your anthem this week. As you hush, let God speak to you. Stay in a continual frame of mind of prayer this week and wait to hear His voice. See where it takes you. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this chance to get together in your house tonight and hear from your word. I just pray that you lead us and take us where you want us to go, that we would let our hearts be opened up, broken up, and we'd listen, feel undistracted, and hear the silence, and then listen for your voice. Be attentive to what you would have, to just hush. Lord, let us keep it on our hearts this week. Let us find time, make time, to be in a state of hush, and to hear your voice, and listen to what you say, and then take it out to the world, whatever way you're guiding us, whatever opening you're giving us. We are so thankful that you still speak to us today. We're so thankful that you allowed your son to die on the cross for each and every one of us. Speak. Your servants are listening. It's in his name we pray. Amen.